and welcome to The Hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And without any further ado, onto this week's album, which is from 2022, specifically last Friday, Growing Up by the Linda Lundas. The Linda Lundas are an American power pop and punk band from Los Angeles, California. They initially formed in 2018 as the backing band for indie singer-songwriter Kristen Control, who was looking for a group of, quote, inexperienced kids, unquote, for a one-off performance at a music festival called Girls School LA. At the time, guitarist Bella Salazar was the only one of the four who had any experience on her instrument. They reformed a few months later when Bella was invited to open a show for the band Frida's Roses, and she asked the other three to back her up. After playing a number of gigs around LA, opening for some fairly well-known artists, they then recorded a couple of songs for the Amy Poehler Netflix film Moxie. They also made an appearance in the film. And recorded an original song for the Netflix documentary, The Claudia Kishi Club. And then they performed at the LA County Library in May of last year. The performance was put on YouTube, and it went very viral, particularly their song, Racist Sexist Boy. As of last summer, everyone knew about them. Growing Up is the band's debut album. It was released on April 8th, 2022 by Epitaph Records, produced by Carlos de la Garza, and features Bella Salazar on guitar and vocals, Eloise Wong on bass and vocals, Lucia de la Garza on guitar and vocals, and Mila de la Garza on drums, percussion, and vocals. Additional musicians, Lil Dude, piano on Nino. I think Lil Dude is Nino. I'm not sure about that. Okay. By the way, Lucia and Mila are the daughters of Carlos de la Garza, a well-respected producer and engineer. He's worked with Bad Religion, Paramore, Jimmy Eat World, quite a few well-known artists, produced the latest Bad Religion album. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscow.com, you'll find links to Growing Up on Spotify and Bandcamp, so you can follow along if you'd like. Track one, oh, the drum machine at the beginning of this is such a nice head fake. They were, you know, they got all this buzz for being a really talented band, and you start the album with a drum machine. really like Bella's spoken vocal on this one. Eloise wrote the lyrics. I think this is the first song that the band wrote together, all four of them.
Okay.
They typically write separately. Bella came in with the verse music, the riff, and the chord progression. Eloise wrote the lyrics for the verse, and the sisters wrote the chorus.
It's quite a blend of things, you know?
And you do have those four, I'll say three or four very distinct sounds of theirs. You know, the sisters are very power pop. Eloise is a straight up punk. And Bella's a bit of a wild card.
It's like the riff is kind of Billy Squire-ish, which I'm like, really?
I love
the riff. There's a very go-go thing on the chorus.
They're huge Go-Go's fans. They did some shows in LA a couple of weekends ago, playing with Drawbreaker and Best Coast. They covered Tonight by the Go-Go's. I think it's the only solo I've seen Bella play. She typically stays to rhythm.
Oh, yeah. And the verse is a bit on the Talking Heads side.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot going on with this one.
Mm-hmm. I like the O gang vocal. It punctuates the song really nicely. Props to both Mila, great drummer for her age. I should mention, they range in ages from 11 to 17.
Yeah, that's just bonkers.
The drummer is 11. Solid as hell drummer. Very much in that Frank Beard camp. Like, she's not quite Phil Rudd. She does play fills here and there, but very, very simple, but solid as hell. Props to Carlos for the drum sound. Kick is nice and deep.
Yeah.
The snare is really nice and snappy.
I think for this song, maybe just lift the last chorus a bit in either key or tempo just to kind of give it a climax rather than just, staying in the pocket like they were.
But I like the chorused guitar that comes in right before the chorus, the high-up guitar. They do this periodically throughout the album. It's basically a substitute for keyboards. Love the descending bass line at the top of the chorus. A lot of this review from me is going to be a Eloise Wong appreciation post. I love her writing. I love the way she plays. She's one of the best bassists I've heard in a long time. Also, Lucia and Mila's voices in the chorus contrast nicely with Bella. love the line, I can't stop thinking of what could have happened next. As someone with OCD, that is it. I relate to that on a cellular level. Also love, again, the chorus guitar at the end. On to track two, the title track, Growing Up. Nice acoustic opening. Like the build going into the verse. Great bass sound. Very tasteful playing. Eloise does something a lot of bass players don't, myself included. I was primarily a bassist for 20 years. A lot of bass players either play right along with the guitar, right along with the kick, like right on the kick, or if they're not playing something melodic, or they just play a steady pulse. Eloise kind of dances with the kick.
Interesting.
She kind of plays to the kick, but not right on it, just kind of dances with it. It helps the groove infinitely. Love the groove of this one. Great vocal melody. Again, great chorus guitar, high guitar parts, acting like a synth. Love the bridge melody. There's a line in the bridge. I know what I do now makes me me. Mimi is Mila's nickname.
Oh, okay.
And in the video, in that part, they're kind of, the band is all laying on their backs and the camera's panning through their faces. On that line, it gets to Mimi. I've seen them play this one live, you know, on YouTube a couple of times. Whenever it gets to that line, Eloise and Mimi just look at each other and Mimi smiles. Like, they're totally in on that joke. I'm sure it was unintentional when I'm guessing Lucia wrote it. I would like to have seen her reaction when it was pointed out to her.
I thought the verse was okay on this one. The chorus I really like, and it was driving me nuts where I'd heard this chorus before, and that led me to like a Google, you know, search. And the lightning seeds.
Okay.
Pure.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's obviously something they would have never heard of.
Yeah, yeah. You never know. I mean, they've pulled some pretty diverse influences.
Right.
I will say that, you know, I'm a huge fan of the band, but they are a bit derivative, but well, they're derivative in a very good way.
Yeah, it's a necessary derivative.
Yeah, and they pull just the best parts of things, you know, the things they're taking from. Love how headlong the vocal gets in the last verse, like she barely takes a breath.
No one's pulling the lightning seeds for commercial value.
No. You know? That's the interesting thing here.
If you're pulling something for commercial value, it's something that everybody knows already and is familiar with, and you know, you're going with
that. Right. They kind of ride an interesting line between commercial and non-commercial.
Yes.
And knowing, you know, that Carlos is two of their fathers, or the father of two of the band members, which I did not know last summer when I first heard them, it kind of explains a lot, because they've been well trained. The two sisters, there's two sisters. Eloise is their cousin, and Bella is a family friend. So they all kind of came together, you know, what I mentioned earlier. Those two have been well trained by a professional. I'm sure Eloise got the same training, and Bella had the experience beforehand. But they're very poppy, but in a way that really works, surprisingly well. Yeah, they're really
building off of like the power pop from the early 2000s that felt like just got lost somewhere along the way.
And they get labeled punk a lot. I tend to think of them as more power pop.
Definitely.
It comes down to the writing. You know, they all write, the sisters write power pop. Eloise writes punk, but there's only one punk in the band, and like I said, Bella's a wild card. On to track three, Talking to Myself. Love the groove on this one. This is really Mila's showpiece for me, because the groove is just so solid and so tight, and it's all about the drums.
And was this what Blink-182 is trying to do?
Wow.
It works better when kids are actually doing this, you know?
Yeah, I can hear it. I like how their voices blend. Mimi's lyrics are way too deep for an 11-year-old to have written.
Yeah.
Oh, incidentally, a little story about the first one. The verses were written by Eloise about an issue she was going through at school. This one, Mimi had in school had been taught, they were talking about internal monologues and how most people have an internal monologue.
Right.
Turns out, and I might be flipping who is who here. I think it was Mimi had learned about it in school, and Lucia was saying that she doesn't have an internal monologue. Some people don't. And so it just led to her to write a song kind of based on talking to yourself. But especially her second song, it amazes me that an 11-year-old wrote those lyrics. Like the kind of combination guitar and voice solo. Live, it's Alicia playing a little solo, and then halfway through, Mimi just kind of sings over top of it. Love how the bass kind of leads the harmony in the bridge. It's something you don't notice until you've heard it about 20 times.
But yeah.
The bass kind of just leads all of the other instruments in the bridge. Very nice. Great harmonies at the end, too. On to track 4, Fine. This is my pick for favorite.
Mine, too.
Just classic.
I have all caps. I have a cap lock on my notes. Exclamation points.
Classic punk.
Just such a breath of fresh air.
Brutally aggressive. Love Eloise's voice on this one.
It's like Stan's sister from South Park. It's just so silly, but it just fucking works here.
And there's just an excessive amount of reverb on the vocal. Some nice rhythmic changes throughout the song. It's got the best solo on the album.
It's like an East Bay Ray style guitar solo.
And I think I mentioned earlier, Lucia typically plays lead. I've only seen Bella play the one solo. Yet, Bella's the more experienced player. Love that.
You're not pulling Dead Kennedys for the commercial value.
No. If you can get the more experienced player to play rhythm, do that. As I've gone off about before.
For the love of the game, and that's what I get here.
You know, rhythm and lead take equal amounts of skill. They're just a different set of skill. I would argue that rhythm is more difficult. If you can get the more experienced player to do that, I think that is a big part of, you know, Eloise is an absolute beast of a bass player. Mila is just ridiculously tight. And I love how they use the guitars as texture.
Yeah.
They're not really focused on, like, this is the guitar, like a lot of rock bands are.
Right.
It's just part of the sculpture.
That was kind of the point of some of the real punk songs.
Yeah, you know?
It wasn't about the excessive guitar solo.
Yeah.
It was about using it to create a mood.
And it's not just like, I think this is the only proper solo on the album.
Yes.
But it's just, as rhythm parts, the guitars are almost in the background. The bass and the drums are really much more out front.
Even the solo is just kind of like an echoey kind of thing. But, I mean, I was like, that's East Bay fucking Ray!
Yeah, oh, totally. And I love the scream at the end. Eloise has one of the best screams I've heard in ages.
A kid's bop Dead Kennedys? Fuck yes!
And, I mean, the lyrics are solid. They're just, they're just T-Next.
Well, right. That's what it's supposed to be about, though.
The point of the song is you say it's fine, it's not fine.
You know, I've seen so many, like, boomers online just talking about things standing the test of time and, you know, blah, blah, and from their name. Like, it was never supposed to be a museum piece.
Right, yeah.
It's supposed to be rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know what, all the time if we're saying rock is dead. No, rebellion has been dead.
Yeah. Because the few examples I can think of that are really not just sustaining it, but really moving it forward, it is just proper rebellion.
Yeah.
It's what I loved about Estrons when they were together. Marion's last album, the EP, that was just straight up anger and rebellion.
Yeah.
And in this case, most of these songs are not upbeat lyrically.
Right. Oh,
most of them are pretty fucking dark. Onto the one exception, I think.
Next one.
Onto the one exception. Track 5, Nino. This is pretty much glam rock. This is one of Bella's songs. It's very ballroom blitz, rocky horror. Got a great groove. She wrote it about one of her cats.
Of course. This could have been a strong pick for strongest. This was definitely a close second.
She's written three songs that they've recorded that I know of entirely herself. Two have been about her cat. This one in Monica, her other cat. And the third we'll get to later. Love the fake British accent she does. There's some great harmonies in the chorus. Love the trippy break with spoken vocal kind of panning both ears. Something about that reminds me of Rocky Horror.
Like, there was even a weird little break in here that puts this ahead of last week's album already.
And it's the only keyboard on the album is some atonal piano credited to Little Dude. I think that is just Nino walking across the keys. It's just some great comic relief in the middle of what is mostly a pretty dark album.
Yeah.
Although the track order is kind of interesting because we get an angry Eloise song, then we get the comic relief, and then we get a really sad Eloise song next. Six, Y. Love the emotion in her voice on this one. It's got a great gang vocal in the chorus. Great groove, especially, you know, Mila really holds this one down. Love the lead bass going into the break and how the break kind of builds and then just this incredibly dark ending.
Just picking this one for weakest, actually. Just okay. Kind of by default. I don't think the sneer really works as well for me on this one, with the contrast here.
This one's more emo than punk, I would say.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Because I think it's about the pandemic.
It's like, you have me at punk, but lose me at emo.
You know, and she wrote one on the EP that they did previously about the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for, you know, like heavy emotion and things, so I dug it.
Yeah, my original take was just mostly harmless, and then I figured, like, out of all the other tracks, like, yeah, this one would probably be my pick for weakest.
On to track 7, Quantus Versus. Apologies if I mispronounced that. This is the departure.
Oh, yeah.
Why I'm saying Bella's the wild card, because this is the other Bella song. I did not see it coming.
And this might have been picked as weakest, but the change-up is nice.
Yeah, yeah. I was on that same...
works well in it.
I was on the same fence, but it's such a nice departure, such a refreshing change of pace.
Yeah.
There's some more drum machine on this one, just kind of mixed in with Mimi and a lot of other percussion. There's no other percussionist credited. Her drum teacher sits in on this one for their Tiny Desk concert, which came out a few days ago. Highly recommend that. So there's a lot of percussion. She does a great job on it. Nice groove. It's just kind of Latin pop.
Yeah.
Like traditional old school Latin pop. The lyrics are in Spanish. I ran them through Google Translate. It's basically about alienation. Really nice touching, at least the translation is. Like how the tonality turns minor in the chorus. It's easily the best vocals Bella's done. Mostly she just kind of yells or speaks her vocals. She, on Monica, the one about her other cat, she kind of sings it, half speaks it. But this one she full on sings. Sounds great. Great harmonies in the bridge. Like the sort of cold stop after the repeat of the bridge.
It's just this really weird mellow atmosphere in the middle of all of this. You're just, and like, wait, what?
For this loud kind of punky power pop band, and then just to pull out this nice ballad, and she does some great finger picking rhythm guitar on it. I'm you know, leaning heavily on Mimi and Eloise, but Bella's a solid as hell rhythm player, and Lucia's leads are nice and tasteful. They're both really good players. I was watching a four-song set that they did on YouTube in early February just to watch Lucia's improvement as a guitar player was great. I'm going to get a little, you know, geeky here. You can tell a novice guitar player because their strumming picking hand, they tend to go from the elbow instead of the wrist. The more you go from the wrist, you see someone go from the wrist, you can tell the more comfortable and experienced they are. And it's great to see her just moving her wrist more instead of her elbow. Getting real guitar geeky here. They have deals with both Music Man and Fender. Shortly after they got signed to Epitaph, they got a bunch of Music Man gear. Eloise got a Stingray. Lucia got a St. Vincent model.
I was going to say, I was hoping she would come into this.
I don't know if that's what was given to her. It would be great if Eloise was, or Lucia, rather, was a big Annie fan. Bell got a model called the Mariposa. Before this, they were using Fenders. They've started to work Fenders in more now. The two have a very different sound. This, I think, was recorded with the Music Mans. They have a very modern sound. I gotta say, I'm not a fan of active pickups, but the Stingray works on this album. It sticks out nicely, and anything that can showcase Eloise is great. But it was good to see her get back to a P bass. I saw a clip of one of the shows from the in LA that they did a couple weekends ago. She's got this like ridiculously long, what looks like an extra long sweatband on her right forearm.
Okay.
And she's explaining like this is a new bass, and I didn't know it would chafe so much. You know, given the way she plays. She talked to the bass player from one of the other bands that she, you know, they were playing with, and he mentioned that he wears a wristband, like a sweatband. And a lot of punk bass players, you'll see, wear sweatbands on their right wrist. And it's to protect their skin from the edge of the bass. So she said, she points to the thing she's got on her arm. This was a leg warmer from when I was a baby. It was just in my sock drawer.
Okay.
This is why I recommend, you know, checking out some live stuff they've done. They have no patter.
Oh, no?
They are just completely loose and relaxed on stage, and they just, whatever comes up, comes out.
Wow. All right.
On the Tiny Desk show, they were about to do Why, and Lucia tells Eloise to introduce the song, and she says, you know, this is called Why, and Lucia says, you were just supposed to say Why. I was going to say, because they need to know what the next song was. Lucia was going for a whole Who's On First thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the whole thing was set up or if Eloise just, you know, accidentally blew her joke. It played beautifully. Like, yeah, you know, she had just ruined the joke. So they're completely, they have no artifice on stage. I love that about them.
That is interesting.
On to, back to the album, on to track 8, Remember. This was almost my pick for favorite. Great vocal from Lucia, probably your best vocal. Love the groove. The lyrics on this one just kind of wreck me. It's basically, as I interpreted, about just having a bad brain day.
And really, this just coming off that ballad,
yeah,
it makes this pop so much more.
Yeah.
That was the other service of that ballad, not only just to be a change of pace, but to really like kind of lull you and take the next one to like make it jump off the album.
Because I was, you know, complaining about the track order before, but yeah, I guess it makes sense to put, you know, both of Eloise's really dark songs around the comic relief.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we go lulled by the ballad and then into this one. Like the harmonies at the end of the chorus, nice high guitar in verse 2, all of the guitar effects in the bridge. This is what I was saying about how they use guitar as texture. There's a ton of effects.
Yeah.
They almost use it like you would use a keyboard.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a lot of accent pieces. You know, the bass is what's driving this whole thing.
Bass and drums drive everything, which I love. Yeah. Track 9, Magic, another one of my favorites.
Yeah, this is a really good one.
Great groove.
Probably the best melody of the album.
Yeah, yeah. Love the high riff. Definitely Mimi's best vocal. This one's kind of new wave.
Yeah.
Love the lyrics.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. Love the lyrics. It's basically about, like, you know, if all of these, you know, superpowers that we see in fiction, being invisible and reading minds and flying, if you could actually do them, what if, you know, they led to some unfortunate things? They probably wouldn't be very good in the end. Love the hits in the chorus, just those abrupt, you know, band hits. Love the heavily distorted bass.
I kind of took it as, rather than thinking of all of these, you know, hokey, you know, crazy things, just, mm-hmm. you know, live in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
In the real world instead.
What if magic was real? What if magic revealed something nobody would ever wish upon themselves or anybody else? Maybe reality is better. That's the chorus. Yeah. Another one that's written by an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
That just floors me. I mean,
going on 30.
Her playing is one thing. You know, she's been very well trained, clearly. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that I think Mila and Eloise are prodigies. I think Eloise in particular is an icon in the making as a songwriter, as a bassist. But an 11-year-old writing this and Talk to Myself is just insane.
I mean, when Lorde had her first album out, everyone was just like, "What? How is this 13-year-old writing this?" Yeah. It was just, I mean, I think Bowie caught it and was just like, "How? Like what?" Yeah. And of course we got to sign her.
Yeah. And when they got signed, it was before I knew who their father, you know, Mila yeah. and Lucia's father was. I was a little concerned because, you know, kids getting signed had me worried. You know, who had just gone viral. I didn't know they had had so much experience.
And we've seen so many vanity projects in the yeah. past, too, that were just kind of like, eek.
And then I found out it was Epitaph. I'm like, okay, yeah, Brett will take care of him.
Yeah.
And then I found Carlos de la Garza is the father, too. I'm like, okay, yeah, they will be effectively insulated from the more toxic parts of the industry for a while until they're ready for them.
Yeah.
And finally, track 10, Racist Sexist Boy. This is my pick for weakest. I love what the song says. I just feel like it's a little simplistic.
Well, it is punk, kind of punk. Mm-hmm. Although it's kind of, it's more like a low metal grind, which I really do like yeah. during the verse.
This one came out of, just before lockdown, one of Mimi's classmates told her that his father had told him to stay away from Chinese people. And she told him, you know, she's Chinese. He backed away from her. And, you know, she told Eloise about this. Eloise wrote the verses. Mimi wrote the chorus.
The chorus could use a bit more of a punch, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because what they're saying, you know, this kid can fuck off.
Yeah, basically. Just the guitar sound is just immense. Love Eloise's shouted vocals and that yeah. scream going into the chorus. Some nice reverb on Mila's voice. Love the line, we rebuild what you destroy. They have a t-shirt with that on it. I'm thinking of getting it.
I think it's a damn good song, though. Yeah, I wouldn't. This wasn't anywhere near my bottom of the list on this album.
I just have to pick one, and this is, I think yeah. it's the one I've heard the most, and it's, musically, it's a little simplistic. It's process of elimination. I like everything else more than I like this one on the album, even though I do like this one. Like the call and response with the bass and guitars in the break. So, do you recommend it?
Definitely. This is a necessary album, and hopefully we see more like this
yeah.
in the future. I hope this starts a trend.
Absolutely agree. Totally recommend it. Hope we see a lot more from them. Oh, that's yeah. my other concern, given their ages. Like, you know, you change a lot in your teens. Who knows if they're going to do many more albums. I hope they do.
I'm trying to think of which band. I think it was Silverchair that, like, started...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
crazy young.
He was like 13,
and then I think they went to more of like a progressive direction.
Yeah. Well, and they
as
have
they got older.
So much diversity in the songwriting, so many different influences that might be a little volatile as they get older.
Yeah,
and it'll just be interesting to see what happens. And that's it for Growing Up. Until next time, we'll be reviewing "Goo" by Sonic Youth. Always remember, never forget. Wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are. Thank you.